You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on January 6, 2020, and is titled, The Council Room. Grab your Bible, and let's join Steve in the message.
We're going to do a little different tonight. Mike and them was not able to get here, but I just had the urge to have a couple songs here to start, and so we'll just do that with Steve's band back here in the back, and just to kind of give everybody a chance to kind of settle in. It's been a pretty active day, I guess, is what you'd call it, peculiar or whatever. But before we open up here, and I want to pray, and then we'll have a couple songs, and then I've got quite a bit to talk about tonight. But I want you to, a lot of you that are visiting here, and those of you that have been around here for a long time, there's a calling on the church now for America that's been there for a long time. And very few, very, very few people have answered the call in the last 70 years in this country. This place, I'm not speaking for anybody else's place. I don't care how anybody else has church. I don't care what day you have church. I don't care what time of day you have church. I don't care how many pews you got, and I sure don't care how many deacons you got. I want to know if your information comes from the throne room of God, if you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and you've been taught by Him, that you adhere to the entire authoritative word of God, that you promise to preach a pure salvation that requires a new identity of a man or woman, that requires a born-again experience, that requires complete service to God. If you're not in that kind of a setting, then we invite you to either tune in here or show up here, because that's exactly how we're going to do. You will not leave here questioning your salvation. You'll either know you're born again, or you'll know you're not, and you need to be back next week. We're going to teach you from the Bible and from the history of America how to walk out those doors and live under the government of God at your kitchen table, in your community, and in your nation. We're going to encourage you and almost require you to not stand around wringing your hands as you wait on the return of Jesus, but that you find yourself so busy you don't have time to think about it, and that the Lord finds you about His business when He returns, that everyone in the sound of our voice will someday hear the words, "Come on in, well done, good and faithful servant." That's what we're going to do here. So if you want to be here, everybody's welcome. This place is wide open. And nobody's going to change that. They'll go through God, and then they'll go through me. Nobody's going to change that. So you are free to come. You're free to join in, and you hold me accountable to my words. If you ever feel like I'm preaching out of personal promotion or personal intent, you let me know, and I'll step down if God doesn't kill me first. That's how we're going to do it. Because if revival doesn't come to America right now, your inheritance is in the toilet. I just want to be sure and lay that out, because I declare today this place is where God's people gather to hear God's word under God's anointing, no matter how long we got to talk, no matter whether we sing or we pray, or no protocols, no procedures, no bulletins, none of that modern day church bunk. We're just going to hear God, and we're going to tell it. Then we're going to go outside and we're going to do it. Simple as that. Y'all with me? Okay, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you tonight. I thank you for this wonderful group of people. Thank you for people who are interested in you, Jesus. We're passionate, God. We're passionate about you. We're passionate about our country. We're passionate about our families, our children, and very passionate about the state of affairs. Lord, I lift up men and women today who have been in Washington, D.C. Lord, there's been a lot of disruption. But I also know there's been a lot of collateral damage for absolutely no reason. So we pray for all those who have suffered injury. We pray for all those who have been involved in altercation that had no ill intent. Those that are innocent. Lord, I may be wrong, but those who went looking for trouble and found it, well, they got what they had coming. But those who stood innocently in support of a president, in support of our country, with no intent to do harm, yet became part of the collateral damage, I pray for them tonight. Pray your healing hand and pray your help. But Lord, tonight, more than anything, we need you. But we're not a people who lose hope. We're not a people who lose our zeal. We're not a people who's going to cow down or shut up or sit down or get out of the way. I'll just tell you, for one, Lord Jesus, I'm a guy who's going to bug the snot out of you until we get this right. And I know you're patient to listen. And I know you're quick to give an answer. So tonight, Lord, we praise you and give you all the glory in this wonderful United States of America. Thank you for every family represented in the sound of my voice tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to sit down at the kitchen table tonight. Because I've come to find out by a lot of responses, and this means a lot to a lot of folks right here. This is the most important part of any man's ministry. It's a kitchen table. You see, day before yesterday, when Queen Nancy was standing up in the House of Representatives, twirling around, waving her gavel up in the air, talking about the degenderization of America, and especially the House of Representatives, where we wouldn't use pronouns and things to describe whether a man be a male or female. As weird as that sounds, I mean, they're weird. But the truth of the matter is, it's one of the last straws holding things together. It's just one more attack on the degeneration of the American family. Everything we can do to promote unnatural behavior, things that don't make sense, things that go against the laws of God's nature, have been used to dismantle the family. The church has really not done a very stellar job in the last 7 decades of promoting the kitchen table. Realizing a few things is truly necessary for every man and every woman that enters into a covenant of marriage should first enter into a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. That your children become a heritage unto the Lord. That you establish a family that holds to their vows. That we understand the progression of God's nature where it's one man, one woman, one time. Now, if you failed in any of those efforts, it's not that you're not welcome or anything else. It's time to repent and don't do it again. We understand that. But we don't promote it. It's time for us as Americans that hold on to the truths that are self-evident. You know, in this America where all men are created equal and have been endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. The right to be married, the right to be in covenant with God, the right to raise children, the right to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, the right to assemble. That's why we're open. The First Amendment of my Constitution says that Congress shall make no law prohibiting the assembly. Therefore, there is no law. So if you come and tell me not to assemble, it'll be your personal opinion. It won't be a law. I'm open to discuss anybody's personal opinions, standing up or laying on the ground. But my inalienable right, my God-given right, says that I can read this book and I can preach this book and I can open those doors and you can come in this house. And we do this because we're American citizens. And right now today, the sons and daughters of Lucifer have been doing their best to remove this from our society, to remove it from your home, to dismantle your kitchen table. So I come to town in my work clothes. I've been auctioneering a cow sale, so I didn't come with fancy garb or fancy speech or man-made atmospheres to trick you into some kind of good feeling. You're here tonight because I'm going to sit up here like a dad. I'm not going to stand down there and talk at you like a preacher. I've come to find out I'm a heck of a lot better at just being a dad. So we're going to sit at the kitchen table tonight, and we're going to talk about some stuff. Because there's a lot of stuff going on, and we're all going to get up in the morning, and there's still going to be some stuff. But I want to encourage the children in this house tonight, don't be discouraged, don't be downtrodden, don't be dismayed. As long as our God sits on the throne of heaven, we are never without hope. We are never without promise. We are never without a plan. We've just fallen in a trap. We've fallen in a trap, but we'd like to know how it all turns out. That's why we became a sucker for so many prophecies in the last 90 days. We want to know how it all works out. So we can sit on the sidelines and clap. God, you did good. I wonder what God's saying about us right now. I ain't heard very many people talk about the strategies of God and how you get there. You see, that requires dying to self. That requires obedience. That's what taking up your cross is all about. That's what man will never live unless he dies. And we just don't talk about stuff like that anymore. We don't mention things like in the book of Malachi, we're in the last days. Look, there's a lot of people talking about the last days. I don't know if Jesus will come back tonight, tomorrow, 100 years from now. I don't know. There's a lot of signage, but there's been a lot of signage. None of you lived through the Holocaust or anything else where there was a lot of signage, the Great Depression, there was a lot of signage. So I can't tell you when the Lord's coming back, but I can give you these encouraging words. Be about your Father's business all day, every day, for you know not. You might think you're a good guesser, but you know not. So be about your Father's business, because Malachi says in the last days, there'll be a distinction made between the righteous and the wicked, those who serve God and those who do not. I wish some politicians were listening to this tonight, and I hope a few preachers hear it, and or maybe you'll go back and help yours. You can't serve God by lying to the people. You can't serve God by becoming a coward and changing your mind. Had a couple of them in the last 10 hours. You have to serve God, serve your country. Very proud of Ted Cruz. He took a big stance, and he's an eloquent speaker and a very smart guy, but I know personally a man who sat in a room with him one time about 5 years ago and put his big long finger in his face. And he said, Ted Cruz, if you don't come back to serving God and serving your country, you're going down as Lying Ted. He's serving God and serving his country. Proof is in the pudding, for a man will stay hooked. I want to get to a point where I'm smart enough to mention some who are for us, some who are not. There's some men today that totally had us tricked. And in the 11th hour changed their mind. I don't know their motives. I don't know their intent. I just know it kind of stinks. When you put your faith in somebody because of what they told you. And then all of a sudden the rubber meets the road. And they gone, Jack. I don't want to be that guy, do you? No. I don't want any of my friends to be that guy. We're going to stay hooked, and we're going to do. So I want to talk to you a bit today, and some of you are here because you've already heard some of these things out of me in other places. We're going to some other places this week. I'll be to the neighbors tomorrow night. We'll just leave it at that. We don't want to send the governor an invite, so I'll be at the neighbors tomorrow night. We'll be in Jacksburg, Texas, Sunday morning. A lot going on. And I just want to tell you, we've been this way for a long time, but I don't think like we are now. We've grown. Robin and I have grown. And we're both sold out. We're both committed. We want to save our nation. We want God to help us. And so in the midst of our roping and grandkids and horse sales and our life, this is what we do. We're up every morning and I'm up early and listening to God and talking to God and doing my little thing. And I can't wait when I look out my little office and up there at the house, and you can tell that she done got up and got her a cup of coffee and she's in her spot. I have to hold back because I like to go hang out with her and hear what she's got to say. And sometimes I go too early and I get in the middle of her and God. And so I got to hold off just a minute. But we're working hard at some of the strategies of God. He's given us one and it's catching a lot of ground. It's a county by county thing that we're growing in, starting to get a real focus on it. How we reclaim the land. A couple of days ago, I read 31 scriptures about possessing the land. When you look at the demise of our country, you'll find metropolitan areas at the core of the mess. Most of those are governed by one or two counties at the most. Out here in rural America, we can lay hold of our county. We can talk to our county officials. We know who we elect. You don't have near as much trouble out here in the county because we glean from our own. Even our very worst politicians would be better than most of them in Washington, D.C. You can get a face-to-face. You can get a one-on-one. We dwell here. This would be the one place where the church, the true church of Jesus Christ, has the opportunity to have an amazing amount of influence. Where your sheriff and some of your government officials have equal authority within jurisdiction as some of your state officials. We've got a lot going for us county by county, and the Lord told me the other day, he said, now go and possess the land. God never promised you people. He promised you land. Now go and possess the land. He's given us a strategy. The strategies of God are very important. When you study through the Bible and you watch how God dwelt with men and dealt with men, when he gave a strategy to Abraham, or he gave a strategy to Gideon, where he whittled the army down to nothing and sent him out. When he gave a strategy to Jehoshaphat, when all the Ites were on the other side of the hill and they called in the praise band, and he gave a strategy. When he gave a strategy to Jonah, and even though he denied and rode in the belly of fish, he ended up in Nineveh and talked to the king, and repentance came, and God relented and saved the whole community. He gave a strategy to Nehemiah. You know what Hebrews 11 says about strategies? In the Hall of Fame of the Faithful, most of these men did what they did without ever seeing the result. We talked about this the other day. Are you ready to listen to God and step to the right, step to the left, sit down, be quiet, get up and run fast, and never know how it turns out? I didn't want it to turn out today like it's turned out, and it's not done yet. We still got to go around in the morning. I don't know how it turns out. All I know is God's given me some direction, given me some instruction, and I'm going to do it. And it looks to me like it's fairly contagious by looking across this crowd. There's hope. There's hope. But the only hope there is, let me tell you this real clear. The only people who have hope now in America are God's people. And that has nothing to do with where you park your car or your carcass. Are you born again or not? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Are you marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit? Are you God's people? If you are, then you now have ears to hear and a voice that he hears. Very important. I'm going to try to tell this best I can. I've been practicing. I told it to a couple of people today to see if I keep my Adam's apple where it belongs. But I had an opportunity the other day. This may sound a little weird to some people, whatever. I've been weird for a long time. How many of y'all believe me when I tell you stuff? You think I tell the truth? You do? Okay, because this is going to sound weird. Just telling you ahead of time, this is going to sound weird. But I sat in my little office the other day, and my relationship with God is becoming very peculiar. It's odd for a guy like me, just a guy who likes to walk around in a cowboy hat and do cowboy stuff, to be seeing some of the opportunities I'm seeing and being asked to go places. If y'all don't know, I'd never asked to go anywhere. I asked to stay home. And it seemed like we were becoming extremely busy. If I don't have anything to say, I just want to shut up. I don't want to say anything just because. But my relationship with God has become very peculiar in the last few years. We meet down there in my little spot. I know he hears me. But the other part of it is, I've been really hearing him. I know it's him. I don't doubt it. I don't question it. I can sit in my chair and ask God a question, and I can get an answer. Like right now, I don't have to fast, pray, light no candles. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to sing songs. I don't have to have praise music in the room. I can ask a question, get up and feed, and come back and get an answer. Because it's real. So the other day, God began to show me some more stuff I'm going to talk to you about here in just a minute, but I want to tell you this part. So the other day I'm sitting in there, and I don't know any of y'all's background, but listen, this, I don't want to get into nothing mess you up, but this will probably help you. If it messes you up, you need to get fixed. But the idea of praying in tongues and praying in the Spirit, It's necessary if you're going to serve God. I'll just tell you that. It's necessary. Because it's just an elevated existence is what that really becomes. Carrie, wouldn't you say that's a good way of putting that? It becomes an elevated existence. I don't do it on purpose, but when the Spirit of God comes upon me, it'll happen. It could happen right here tonight, but it's happened a few times when not nothing I talk about, nothing I really promote, but it just happens to be in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, and over in Romans 6, 7, and 8. You can find some different things about utterances and one thing and another. So anyhow, it's very biblical. It's not weird, and we're not making a circus act out of this. I'm just telling you, there's two times in this last 10 days that I want you to know about tonight. So while I was praying in the Spirit the other morning, I had the opportunity to visit a place. I didn't have an out-of-body experience, nothing weird, but in my mind, I guess, I went to a spot. And I was standing in a room. I don't remember there being a floor, but behind me was a great big chair, and there's a guy sitting in it. And then in a half circle around me, while I stood there with my arms down to my side, there was this circle, half circle of bodies dressed in white. And I said, God, where am I? He said, you've entered into my room of counsel.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message, The Council Room. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. We're on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship, and you can tune in every Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Mountain Time, to hear Steve on AM 1450 Cal Country. For Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.